2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen. The sky's so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, 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 hey. It's a sunny day. Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, 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 hey. It's just a sunny day. Hey, hey, it's a sunny day.
KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We are taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We are coming to you this morning from the Ovation Homes subdivision in West Point. It's called The Cottages at Harvest Fields, and we hope you come out and see this beautiful home during the open house this morning. This morning, I wanted to start the show with how do you extend the garden season? You know, Tana, a lot of us think, oh my gosh, it's getting to be fall now, I'm done. But for a lot of people, there are cold hardy crops that do well this
time of
year.
Well, there are. Just a few days ago, we had a lot of the higher elevation areas or mountain valleys had frost, but we're warming back up and in the mid to high 80s for the next 3 or 4 days. So that commonly happens this time of year, and also it can happen in the spring. So there's some relatively simple things you can do to make at least extend your gardening season a few weeks. But depending on what you want to do, you can oftentimes grow tomatoes into and other crops into mid-November, depending on what kind of structures you have and what you want to put into it.
So talk about that. What kind of I did end up throwing some sheets over my tomatoes this week just because I was a little worried one of those nights, huh? But what can we actually do as far as low tunnels and things?
Well, low tunnels, and there's several fact sheets online about that. We posted, I think Minnesota Extension has a very extensive fact sheet on extending the gardening season.
Oh, okay.
Seeming as they're colder than we are. Mm-hmm. And so, Carlos, and I appreciate you posting the videos and everything, Carlos, by the way, if you're listening, but Carlos will have that fact sheet up very soon, and it goes through a lot of different methods of how you can extend the gardening season. And a low tunnel is a structure to where you could either take PVC or fiberglass poles and bend them over into a hoop that stands 2 to 3 feet high over your garden row or your raised bed. And then you just drape a construction grade plastic or greenhouse plastic, depending on what you want to do, over the top of that, and everything is secured. And what will happen during the day, let's say we're in the 50s, well, that will heat up into the 80s or low 90s, and those tomatoes will or whatever's under there will keep going. And then if you're doing cool season crops, those low tunnels can be nice because you can grow things like lettuce and cabbage and other cool season crops through mid to late November, at least, with very minimal protection other than that hoop.
So you're extending the season by at least a couple months.
You can, in especially with cool season crops. Now, in the summer, if you wanted to use a low tunnel, instead of putting your tomatoes out in early to mid-May, they could go out a full month earlier. So the low tunnels can be very useful for getting your plants bigger and getting earlier harvests. You know, and there's things you can even do that are different. Another common method that is a little less expensive sometimes than low tunnels is called floating row cover. And this is a Remay fabric that you can get in different grades that underneath will be anywhere from 2 to 10 degrees warmer than the outside temperature. And so up in the Cache Valley and the Heber and other areas, to where things like watermelon can be marginal because of the shortness of the growing season, a trick to getting those watermelons to ripen is to put them in mid-May to late May, but then cover them with Remay fabric that warms up, and so they grow more quickly. And then as we start getting into September, if we're going to get cold, you know, a frost or something, you can recover them so that you can maximize the growing season.
So does that fabric stay on there all day long?
It can. If, let's say,
I'm trying to imagine this, because it sounds
you
like
a have
lot
a
of
fabric
work.
That raises the temperature 10 degrees underneath. Mm-hmm. Well, if it's only in the 70s, you can just leave that on. Now, you still may need to create a low tunnel system or something to keep that
so
fabric
it's not
off.
Right on,
yes,
the plants. Okay.
Because if a frost hits and the fabric is sitting on the leaves and there's frost, that can still damage. Now, one other trick that people will use is growing things in black plastic. And what will happen is the black plastic will heat the soil a little bit, but above it, it reflects heat and absorbs heat, and plants growing near it will stay warmer. So if you're trying to get the watermelon or other really long season crops, mm-hmm. you can plant them into black plastic for the summer heat. Then when we start to get really warm, cover it with grass mulch or something and take it back off. So black plastic is another great way to extend the gardening season by at least a few weeks.
So that just goes over the top of the soil?
Yeah. So you'd make your furrows like you normally would, so the hills, and then drape it over, secure it with soil on either side. And then what I like to do is run drip underneath it before I put it down. So I'll make my furrows and then run drip hoses, put my plastic over the top, and then carefully get a hand trowel and just dig my holes to plant.
Oh, okay.
So that will heat things up. And if you have that black plastic in combination with a low tunnel or floating row cover, you know, if there's crops that you have troubles with, you know, there's areas like Colville that have to do short season crops because of the short growing season, things like this that don't cost a lot of money can really extend your growing season by up to a month on either side, and sometimes a lot longer.
So when you're talking black plastic, you're not just talking big hefty garbage bags.
No, absolutely not. No, the hefty,
I would use glad
bags, not hefty. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding.
I shouldn't use a brand name. I didn't mean it that
no,
way. You get my point.
Yeah, I do. And so what I'm talking is construction grade black plastic or clear plastic.
Okay. Construction grade, because it's a lot heavier and it's not going to deteriorate like the others.
Especially on the Wasatch Front, clear plastic gets too hot underneath during the summer. So if you're on the Wasatch Front, you're always using black plastic because it actually doesn't get as hot. Mm-hmm. The clear plastic has a greenhouse effect that will heat the soil up and cook it to the point that you can actually sterilize it over a season. And plants really struggle under clear plastic on the Wasatch Front.
All right. And you can find out much more on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. Carlos is putting up a document so you can check out, get the kind of the step-by-step on how to do those things. All right, this morning we are coming to you from Harvest Fields in West Point. This is an Ovation Homes property subdivision. And with us, Amber. Amber, thanks so much for having us out today and talking about this beautiful 55-plus property.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming. It's really fun to have you guys here.
So talk about this beautiful room that we're sitting in right now. Obviously, your homes are designed for family time. Kind of describe what we're seeing here.
Yeah, so in this space, you know, you guys are actually set up here at the kitchen table, which where else would you be?
Of
right?
course.
Yeah, in this nice, it's definitely a dedicated space for dining room, although it still is right there off of the kitchen. In fact, this beautiful home, which is a feature that everyone loves, has an option for a butler's pantry. So as you look here to the north, you can look directly into that butler's pantry.
And I love how you can hide the messy stuff in the butler's pantry.
Yes, and we have not done this in the model, but you can put a door on it. You can do a hidden cabinet. There's a few little ways that we can do it, but it is actually quite grand in that it really extends that kitchen space. And so we'll have a lot of clients actually that when they design and they use it, they'll put a lot of their countertop appliances in that butler's pantry, which it keeps, you know, the actual kitchen space and countertop space really pretty. So you can put a lot of the pretty design elements that we have here in this room. And then, of course, it looks into the great room, which is the gathering place for the family, you know, place where you would potentially watch some television and just do some different things like that. So really the heart and the hub of the home.
Talk about what you think about when you're designing a home like this.
So one of the things that we look at is, of course, making sure that the space is appropriate for accessibility. You know, in a prior segment, Tom had mentioned, you know, being in a wheelchair or possibly a walker and still having family. You know, when parents get to the point where they're needing to use those types of things, that can become quite cumbersome. But one of the reasons why we have clients that refer us and come back to us is because of the wide open spaces. So you can still have mom or dad or brother, sister, aunt and uncle, grandma and grandpa in a wheelchair, but yet you don't feel like you're tripping over top of it. You know, the appliance, I guess, doesn't get in the way because you have so much space around. One of the things, though, that people always say is, well, what about storage? You know, because when you're building single level living, you know, everything is built all on one level. And so we just get really creative on how we do storage. All of our homes have usually a drop down in the garage where people can have some space up above the garage for storage. We always do great big storage cabinets. You know, this pantry, for example, you've got amazing storage that's back behind there.
Wide closets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in this home, actually, too, we've had it in the parade of homes, this plan in particular in the last couple of years, where we've put a loft on top of it. So the loft is actually built up in the trusses, and that was actually and is a very popular plan, especially again with the size of our Utah families, where they have the space for, you know, your day-to-day stuff, but when you want to throw a party, you've got another 1,000 square feet that you can throw on this home and not lose the aesthetics of the home.
Right.
Yeah, very beautiful layout. Open, airy, and, you know, growing up, I always remember going to my grandparents' house who had a similar, not, you know, it was an old farmhouse, but they had a great room with a kitchen in it. And so there would be some of the family just sitting around playing games, you know, playing cards, and then grandma and mom might be cooking a dessert or making hot cocoa and things. And just it was the hub of activity. But the thing that's great about this is that just the space, you know, because it's just not crowded in. And so, you know, you could have people having a conversation over here and then the grandkids at the dinner table and then someone over there, and it just isn't crowded.
Right.
Amazing.
Right.
And 2,200 square feet that it can feel so big.
It's true.
Right?
It's true. Yep.
Let's get people here. Tom, you want to give it a shot? Get people here this morning.
I will give it a shot. So take the Antelope Drive exit off of I-15. And then you're going to go west to 4,000. So you're almost at the entrance of Antelope Island. Don't go to the toll booth, but turn north. And then you'll follow along. And if you're using at least Google GPS, it tried to make me turn off into a cornfield. So you don't want to do that. You're going to go north to 1315 south and then go right and then follow along going back east to 4290 west and then just turn left and you'll run into it just a little bit down the road.
You'll see our KSL News Radio van.
Yeah, and we've put some signs out on the road as well, so hopefully people can see those.
All right. And the open house while we're here this morning, so join us. We are going to come back with your calls and questions, 801-575-8255, the number to call. You can text us at 57750.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you this morning, taking your calls 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Back to our phone lines this morning, Mark in Vineyard waiting very patiently. And Mark, what was your question for Tom this morning?
I'm planning on going back to school, and my ultimate goal is to get a degree in horticulture through Utah State. Ideally, I would love Tom's job, but I don't think that's going to happen. And I'm not trying to butter him up, but if I remember correctly, he teaches the Master Gardening Program in Provo. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. And my plan is to do Salt Lake Community College online, get my transfer credits, get my degree, and ideally what I'd like to do is teach people how to garden. I'm working for one of the extension offices, working at a high school that has a greenhouse, or being some sort of consultant. But my plan is in the spring to take the Master Gardener program, and I believe Tom teaches it in Provo.
Yeah, we teach it in Orem, and that's right. Will start in January, late January or early February. So as far as your education, if you wanted to pursue that route, I think right now there's a lot of demand for ag teachers at high schools, but a lot of those programs have been shifting away from livestock more toward urban agriculture, which is a lot of horticulture with a lot of small animals like chickens and things. So if you had a teaching certificate along with a degree, then open up a lot of opportunities. Extension offices are hit and miss just because there's usually one horticulturist per county. And then the conservation, the water conservation districts like Central Utah, Jordan Valley, it's not that they have a lot of horticulturists, but those are other entities that do a lot of public education.
Yeah, and I'm planning on volunteering in the spring. But do you have, I know it's still in review, but do you have any insight to the Master of Professional Studies in Horticulture?
I don't. What you would need to do is call campus, and if you call the Department of Plants, Soils, and Climate, PSC, they can direct you to an academic counselor that can give you degree options.
Okay. All right. And I just don't know. I don't know if the MPSH is too much education for what I want, but they – from what the handout I got from the Orem satellite campus is that it's heavy on water conservation.
These are ones that I've been away from campus long enough that a lot of the degree options are different than when I was up there. And I think really important to talk to one of the academic counselors up there because they can give you the most current information.
Yeah, okay. I just wasn't sure how it works with you working for the extension office.
We're part of USU, but we don't do any continuing ed as full credit.
Yeah. Okay. And who teaches at the Thanksgiving Point campus?
Mike Aaron.
Okay.
Karen.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks for your call this morning. A break for the bottom of the hour news. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.